Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you're doing well. It is starting to heat up, and as we have said in weeks past, it's kind of unusual that as things are heating up, the sports scene still kind of seems on hold, particularly baseball. There's not a whole lot going on there as baseball continues to negotiate to see if they can put together a season. One thing that is really happening is golf. That's kind of fun to watch because it's the tournaments from the past that you get a chance to watch, and won't be long until the tournaments will be coming around, the live tournaments. I'm not sure there'll be much of a gallery, but at least there will be live golf to watch, so we're interested in that. But we have with us today a person whose athletic career is in the past, but it was pretty important. And her name is Leah Sandlin, and we knew her as Leah Retram when she was here in Columbus, Indiana, as a swimmer. She's probably the best swimmer, at least one of the top two or three best swimmers ever to come out of Columbus, Indiana. And she had a great career here, and then she went on to the University of Florida and had a great career down there. And then during her time at the University of Florida, went through a real transition, and that's what this story and this show is all about, is about how Jesus Christ came into her life and how it changed her life. Leah right now is not doing much athletically. In fact, one of the things she told me was she doesn't even really watch sports too much anymore. She is very, very much involved in the community, particularly ladies who are in prison, who are locked up here in the local jail, and she's working a lot and doing a lot with them. So she's got a tremendous story. Wanted you to hear it, and we'll come back in a couple of minutes, and you can hear the story of Leah Retram Sandlin of Columbus, Indiana, and the University of Florida. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today. And today our guest is Leah Retram Sandlin, known in the swimming world as Leah Retram, four-time All-American out of the University of Florida. Leah, thanks for being on Face to Face.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I don't know a lot about swimming, so you're going to have to help me. Okay. What were your strongest events at the University of Florida?
Yeah, by the time I went to the University of Florida, I was a backstroker and 200 backstroke, which is the longest backstroke event. That's the easy one to pick out because it's the only one on your back. The other ones are on the front. So I was a backstroker, and then I swam the medley, so individual medley. So that's all four strokes in one race. And then I was on relays and freestyle relays and things like that.
You did a tremendous job at Florida, and you obviously had a great career at Columbus North High School in Columbus, Indiana. When did you first begin to swim?
I don't know a time I wasn't swimming. I started swimming competitively when I was about 5 years old. Year-round competitively at eight, so as long as I can remember, I was swimming.
You had a great career at Columbus North, we said, and in order to rise to the top, you got to the state a number of times. In order to rise to the top, you have to be passionate about winning. Where did the passion for winning come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I think as a kid, it started from I was the youngest of four kids, and I wanted something that was just for me, that I was good at, and that I could kind of gain that approval or recognition, I guess, for. And that really just turned into, when I started to find that in swimming, it turned into a passion and a love for swimming. Swimming became kind of just my sanctuary. It became where I went to, I had practice, and so there was a consistency to it, but when I was there, it was where I let out my emotions. It was where I, happy, good, bad, everything. But it became something that when I put the hard work in, when I day in and day out, and when I was intentional about what I was doing and all of that stuff, that out of that came results. And so that is exciting when you put in the work and then things happen from that. But I just loved the sport. I loved swimming. I loved the people. I loved racing. I loved it.
Did you have any other sports that you were involved in when you were growing up?
Very minimally, and most of them were so that I could swim type of thing. You know, just my parents thought we needed to have a little diversity and things, and so I was in gymnastics and diving and other things, but swimming was where my heart was.
How often would you be in the water, say, when you were growing up and you were in the midst of your swimming season? How often would you be in the pool?
Yeah, so I think probably around 10 years old, I started swimming twice a day. That would probably be three times a week, twice a day, and then on Saturday. And then in the summers, we were a part of a club team that had an open swim in the summer. So we'd go to practice in the morning, and we'd stay at the pool all day long and practice in the evening. So we also had a pool in our backyard growing up. So there was, especially in the summer, that's if you were looking for me, I was in a pool somewhere.
I know that in the sports world today, with young people, whether it's volleyball or swimming or gymnastics or what it is, you devote yourself to that sport. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like anywhere along the line, hey, I'm missing something, I don't get to be with my friends, mm-hmm. I don't get to go out and do, even when you're in middle school and so on, did you mm-hmm. ever feel like I'm missing something here?
I did not, honestly. I just loved swimming, and I had a lot of friends that were also swimmers. That was where most of my friend group was. All of my siblings also swam. That was just kind of our world. I didn't think about it because that's where what I loved doing. So I didn't think about really missing anything. You know, people would tell me that I was missing stuff, but I didn't care because I love swimming. So.
Well, your titles, 1999 to 2003, you were a member of the Columbus North High School swim team. Three individual state titles in the 200-yard individual medley, a state record in 2002, undefeated in the 500-yard freestyle, state record of 4:46.08. I got all this off your off a website somewhere. Stood for 13 years before it was defeated. Did you feel like mm-hmm. when you were involved, when you started to come along, did you feel like that you had the confidence to be the best in the state?
I did. I was very, like I said, just kind of passionate about swimming, and it became everything to me, so that by the time I got into high school, there wasn't a question in my mind I was going to be the best. I just, you know, a lot of this sounds bad saying now, but my mentality was so very much I'm the best, and these people are lucky to be around me, and I'm going to be, whoever I'm swimming next to, if they're my best friend, I don't care. I'm going to beat them. You know, I just had this mentality that that I was going to be the best. And Jim Sheridan was my coach, my high school coach at the time, and he fed that in a great way. He reminded me that, you know, there was I had a kind of a rival in high school, especially my freshman year. There was a girl that had won the 200 my events, the 200 IM and the 500 free, the previous two or three years. And I was racing her in both of those events, and she was a senior. And every day he would remind me, she puts her pants on the same way you do. She's no different than you do. What's going to make the difference is what you do today in practice. It's what you put in right now is going to make the difference. And so he prepared me all year long for that big meet, so that by the time I got there, I didn't have a doubt of what was going to happen. Now, I didn't win that first event. 200 IM comes before the 500 free at state, and I didn't win that first event. She beat me. But I was prepared that it didn't matter if I didn't win that first event, I was going to win the second one. You know, I didn't have a break there. I was going to win. I knew it.
Did you feel like that when you came along, you were fortunate to get a coach like Jim Sheridan, who had been at Clemson University, who was nationally known at what was still in a high school? And of course, swimming at Columbus North has a long history of being really good. Did you feel like that was kind of a, even at your age, kind of a God thing?
Oh, yeah. And it was. And I've my entire swimming career had great coaches from when I was younger. We moved to Columbus when I was 12, and that's when I started swimming under Jim Sheridan, and had a great club coach in Anderson growing up, and then at Florida, a great coach. But what Jim did for me, and like I said, that mentality and how he helped me grow there, really transferred and went with me into college and now into my life, with what I do with my life now. But I think I probably didn't realize it, as often happens with teenagers, that what I didn't realize what I had at the time. Looking back now, I can see that it was a God thing to bring Jim into my life. He's still in my life. He'll always be in my life. But to take me from just kind of a pipsqueak of, yeah, I'm a cocky little swimmer, you know, to somebody with confidence because of the work that they've put in. He created that out of me.
Why'd you choose the University of Florida?
That's a good question. I only ended up going on 3 recruiting trips my senior year, our junior year of high school, and it was Arizona, University of Arizona, and University of Southern California, and then Florida. And you know, my dad is a very practical, wise man, and he encouraged me to kind of have a pros and cons list, so that when I went on the trip, and I, you know, in recruiting, you're talking to these coaches before you go on the recruiting trip. So I kind of had an idea of what the teams looked like and what I wanted and that sort of thing. And then I went on the trips, and immediately after, on the plane rides home, I would write pros and cons list. And I honestly just got mine out not long ago, because I've been kind of helping some swimmers now that are looking at going to college, helping them with that recruiting process. And I just looked at my journal from that. And when I looked at the Florida page, it just said, and Florida was the third trip. It was the last trip I took. And it said, this is, you know, felt like home. It just felt right. And I'm an emotional person. So for me, that felt, that was enough for me, that it felt right. And I had no doubt that that was the right place for me to go now, looking back. But honestly, it was probably more of an emotional decision. I wanted a hard working program. I was a hard working athlete. I wanted somewhere that was going to push me physically. And I had no doubt I was going to get that at Florida and with Coach Troy.
Leah Rettram is our guest. She's Leah Rettram Sandlin now, after her marriage, swimming All-American. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's now take a break. We're taking a break from this. We'll be right back. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Leah Rettram, Leah Rettram Sandlin. I know her as Leah Rettram. Her picture is on the wall of a Columbus North High School. She was one of the best, not just best in the year, but one of the all-time best in swimmers in the state of Indiana and in the country. You're a four-year All-American. Did that surprise you a little bit, that you were a four-year All-American, or were you at a cocky stage to where you say, I got this?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, I just think when you're that age, going through college and high school, that you're kind of focused on the right now, not really focused on big picture stuff. And, so it was surreal in the sense that it was happening. And I knew, like I said before, I knew, that I was going to get there. I knew I was going to be a successful athlete. But then at the same time, when I would kind of take a break and gain some perspective, it was, kind of, how did I get here? You know, how did this happen? Why do I deserve this? Those sorts of things.
You had a shot at the Olympics.
Yeah.
In 2004, you went to the Olympic trials and you just missed it. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah. Olympic trials is it's a beast like no other as far as swim meets go. You know, you have national swim meets twice a year in short course and long course. And those are fun and big swim meets. But when you go to an Olympic trials, and I had the privilege of swimming in 2 different Olympic trials, but when you go to that, you're an individual swimmer. You're not swimming for a team. You might be there with a team, but you're not swimming for a team. You're swimming for your spot on the team, you know? And so it's a very different experience than swimming at an NC2A's or at a state swim meet, because there you're with the team and it's about the team. And so it's an interesting switch for a swimmer to go from swimming for the team to swimming for yourself, you know. Now the preparation doesn't change, the training doesn't change, the behind the blocks psych up doesn't really change, but the emotion of when you're swimming is very different. And you have to kind of put yourself on the big team, on the USA team, to swim in that race, if that makes sense, because you're not really swimming for the University of Florida anymore. You're swimming to be an Olympic athlete. So it really changes, like I said, the mentality of when you're racing. But that meet it's really fun. It's the best swimmers in the country, obviously, competing to swim in the Olympics. And the Olympics is every kid's dream. It was my dream from the time I was 8 years old. And I I knew I was going to the Olympics, you know, and I didn't make it, but I knew I was going.
You were fourth.
Yeah.
You were fourth, and they take three, of course.
Two.
They take two.
Yeah.
And you were fourth.
So, yeah.
How close did you come? How far did you miss it by?
It was, as far as time goes, I think it was like 0.02 of a second or 0.2 of a second. Yeah, something like that. It was a close race. But
I know your faith is important to you now.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about when Jesus Christ came into your life.
Yeah. That's a kind of a, it's hard to pinpoint. I would say, well, I, in my heart, accepted Christ to be my Savior when I was in seventh grade. I was at an Ichthus concert and had that experience then. And then for the next several years of my life, I lived kind of an innocent faith. I didn't apply my faith. I did the right things. I went to church and I was in youth group and those things in high school. Now then I went to college and I got a little off track, as unfortunately a lot of people do in college. And it wasn't until then I moved back to Columbus after being at Florida for 9 years. And even a few years after that, it was, it took a very dramatic experience to wake me up and to realize that Christ was my Savior, but he was not my Lord. I was not living for him. I was living under him, you know, kind of living in a way that I was protected by his salvation, but I was not living my life for him. And God was so gracious to wake me up and to, allow me now to live as Christ, as my Lord and Savior. And it is, I mean, it's just the best. It's not easy. It's a hard life, but it's the best.
Can you talk a little bit about the circumstance that brought you
around? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as I said, I kind of got off track a little bit there in college, and I was swimming. Almost as hard as I was swimming and working, I was partying. And so I got into a lot of you know, things, and through partying that I didn't have any business being a part of, exposed to a lot of things. And then when I was done swimming, I would not have said this while I was swimming, but my identity was swimming. I was a swimmer. And when I was done swimming, I lost myself. I had no idea what to do. I had a great job at the University of Florida, and from the outside looking in, everything looked great. But inside, internally, I was a mess, and I was very, very sad. As I said, I wanted to be an Olympic athlete from the time I was 8, and I just missed it. And then my shoulders, I had a bunch of shoulder surgeries, and my shoulders fell apart, and I was very angry at God about that. I felt like he had given me this gift, and then he'd taken it away. And so there was just a lot going on with all of that, a lot of hurt, and I wasn't dealing with it other than by drinking and partying. And so then I moved home, and I was still home to Columbus, and I was still in that mentality. I was still hurting from that and lots of other things that life throws at you. But so I was hurting, I was drinking a lot, and I was arrested for a DUI. And that was in January of 2014, so 5 years ago. And that DUI, I call it my awakening, because that's exactly what it was. Like I said, God woke me up from living a life for myself with Jesus to living a life for Jesus. And I remember seeing the lights when I was getting pulled over, and it was a terrifying experience, but also very liberating, because I didn't have to lie anymore. I didn't have to hide that I was hurting. I didn't have to hide that I couldn't control myself with drinking. I didn't have to lie about anything, you know, anymore. It was all exposed. It was there. You could see it. I was arrested, you know, for the lifestyle that I had chosen to live. And it was a very harsh lesson in humility and grace that I will never forget, that I praise the Lord for.
How did it change you if you're drinking and partying? Did your partying and drinking just all of a sudden stop and you became, or did you go through a transition period that was real tough for you?
I stopped. The Lord was so gracious. He took the desire away from me. I knew that I didn't, that's not who he made me to be, that's not who I wanted to be. And I didn't, you know, I didn't struggle really at that. I mean, there was a lot of stuff I was struggling with, because the DUI and my drinking was really a symptom of a lot of deeper issues. And so that was hard, digging into life and to dealing with the stuff that I'd been masking, and to dealing with relationships that had hurt me, that I hadn't worked through. So a lot of that stuff was very hard, but the alcohol was not hard. I don't drink, you know, I've been sober for 5 years, and it doesn't bother me, but every once in a while I'd like to have a glass of wine right now, but I can't, and that's okay, because God is better than wine, you know? Yeah, I praise him for that, for taking that away. I know that's not everybody in recovery story. So.
And now your ministry. Mm-hmm. You've gone from swimming, and you're still coaching swimming, still involved with swimming a little bit. Mm-hmm. But tell me a little bit about your ministry right now.
Yeah, well, I work for Terrace Lake Church. So my ministry at Terrace Lake Church, I help with communications and different things. And one of the greatest parts of my job is that I get to disciple people. I work with a lot of people, within women within the church in that. And then I also get to help grow leaders, that people that have an area of passion that they want to start or contribute to a ministry. And I get to come alongside them and help them grow in that way. And then my... also a part of kind of my Terrace Lake role, but in the community, I'm involved in jail ministry. So with the REC, Residents Encounter Christ, and then I also do a lot of that kind of on my own. Visit, I'm in the jail, in different areas of the jail, doing different kind of things about 3 times a week now for about 2 hours each. And just my heart is that these women, that same jail, that's the same jail I spent a night in. And that God changed me, and that the Holy Spirit just, like I said, humbled me and kind of broke me open. And my heart, my desire, my hope is to give hope to these women that are in there. For I was one decision away from where they are, and but God, and I want them to have a but God moment where he rescues them, and he can, and he does, and he will, and all that. But they need hope. And so I get to go in there, like I said, about 3 times a week and share my story, share my life, share about Jesus, and evangelize, and just get to do Bible studies and help them know the real God, not who they think God is.
That's a tremendous story. There's no doubt about it. That's a book. Hope you write sometime. We got to close. Our time is almost up. But tell me a little bit, what would be a favorite verse of yours?
Well, I do have a lot, but just with my story and what I shared today, and God gave me this verse right after things happened with my DUI, and it's in John, and Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's sharing with them the life that they are meant to live, that with him, what that life looks like, and then he says to them, "But I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have struggle, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
Fantastic. Leah, thanks for spending time.
It's been a pleasure.
And good luck with your ministry. We'll be praying for your ministry.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
All right. Leah Retram Sandlin, former All-American swimmer who now has this tremendous ministry. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. I hope you were inspired by what's going on. You know, one of the things I think that needs to happen is not just to take people who have committed drug crimes and not just leave them in jail and not do anything with them, to forget about them. And one of the great things that Leah is doing, I think, is the way she is working in the lives of a lot of these women and transforming them. One of the things we know is that transformation comes when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And unfortunately, in a lot of government programs, which are good, the idea of anything spiritual is left out and sometimes completely rejected. Sometimes programs are shut down because they talk about anything spiritual, and that's really too bad, because we know that when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he can change any life, no matter what it is, no matter how far down the person has gone. We know that things can be changed when that person accepts Jesus Christ. And we hope that you feel that same way. We hope that if you've listening to this and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, and this has quite honestly been a tough year, not just for athletes, but for everyone, know that when Jesus Christ comes into your life and you accept Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior, he can do a lot of things to change you, including putting you on the right path and keep keeping you there. So we hope that happens, and hope this the interview today with Leah has been a an encouragement to you, and hope that you have enjoyed it. And that you will continue to pray for her ministry here in the local jail. Well, as we said, one of the things that we do here at Face to Face is to encourage you. And we have a website in which you may be watching or listening to or maybe got this show from. And hope that you will read some of the stories that we have up there, some of the pictures that we have. And know that even in the sports world, when there's just a lot of controversy going on right now because of a number of recent events that have happened this year, know that God is still in control, and that Jesus can change the lives of people. I think there's a lot of anger, a lot of frustration out there, and rightly so in many cases. But the answer is to know Jesus Christ personally. And we hope that as you listen to this show, we hope that you will be encouraged by that, knowing that in the sports world, there are a lot of chaplains and a lot of people who are working with athletes and bringing them closer to Christ. And we hope that people come to know Jesus more as they listen to our show. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. And if you haven't already checked it out, hope that you will. And hope that you will want to find out more about what's going on and to pray for these athletes. We've got a number of young athletes coming up, particularly athletes who are involved in baseball but not able to play baseball right now because of the lockdown. But we're going to have them on, and we're going to have a number of different things on our website. So I hope that you'll check that out, facetofaceradio.com. Well, we close today with a verse from the book of Romans. And Romans chapter 8, verse 6. And here's what it says. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Isn't that a great verse to know that people who are struggling right now, when they turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, He will give them peace no matter what situation they are in. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.